Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
When confusion's my companion and despair holds me for ransom, I will feel no fear. I know that you are near. When caught deep in the valley with chaos for my company, I find my comfort here, 'cause I know that you are near. My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my weakness, my sickness, my brokenness, all on your shoulders, your shoulders. My help comes from you. You are my rest, my rescue. I don't have to see to believe that you're lifting me up on your shoulders, your shoulders. You may
welcome to the Bethany Hour. Thank you for taking time to join with us this morning as we look to the Word of God for spiritual direction and its practical application to our lives. Stay tuned. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Route 57 and Main Street. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Our contemporary nightlife service is at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening is family night at Bethany with activities and instruction for our children, teens, and adults, all beginning at 7 p.m. For more information about these services and other activities at Bethany, log on to our website at www.bethany-ag. Org.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed here. We hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a happy, happy new year.
Yeah, it's a brand new year, a brand new a time to start new things, maybe some resolutions to change your life or whatever. So listen to the radio, listen to this show, and see if we can help you out.
Yeah, Pastor Ken always makes a point to say that everyone that's in church the first Sunday of the year that they have perfect attendance. So if you're listening to this radio program, and it's your first time listening, keep listening and you'll have perfect attendance
for the whole year.
We're talking from the book of Luke. We have been picking it up in chapter 15 in verse number 11. This is the parable of the lost son. Jesus has been giving parables. First, he gave a parable of a lost sheep. Then he gave a parable of a lost coin. He's making a point now, but he's going to give another parable. This one is called a parable of the lost son. So Jesus continued, and there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. So this probably was never, ever done.
Yeah.
I would think in this culture, in the Jewish culture, this would never, ever happen where a son would dare to say this to his father.
Yeah, this is kind of, if you read into this, it's kind of a slap in the face to the father. Dad, you're not dead yet, but I want what is mine after you're dead.
I want it now.
So selfish son, just thinking about himself, not wanting to, you know, doesn't care about his father's feelings. Just give me my inheritance.
And I think we're going to find out that this particular parable helps us understand about the father.
Yeah.
Even though it's a story about two sons, it's about the lost son especially, the whole point of the story is really focusing on really what kind of a father there is.
Yeah.
And so here we've got these, like you say, this younger son who wants his inheritance right away. Gimme, 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 gimme.
Yep.
I would imagine today in our culture, we might find a lot of this.
I think we definitely do.
We would find a lot. Back then, this was unheard of.
Yeah.
Like you said, this was a slap in the face, something that would never, ever be done. But nevertheless, the father does it. He gives it to them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Now, that happens a lot.
Now, that part, it's definitely true. Nothing new under the sun. This is still happening today where you have the prodigal son, which is this is what it's about, goes off and does his own thing. And like you said, in wild living, as Jesus said, just squanders whatever he has and thinks that, hey, this is the way I want to live. This is going to be a great life and I'm going to go do what I want to do. Nobody will tell me what to do. And so that's what he does, goes off and has a wild time.
Yeah. And just this last Sunday, we had Teen Challenge from Brockton here, and I don't know how many guys we had, maybe 20, 25 guys, something like that, and they got up and told their testimony on how they have done just what this parable said.
They
would take money from their parents, they'd steal, they'd do all kinds of things, and they'd squander it on drugs, on alcohol, on heroin, everything.
Yeah.
They squandered everything that they could get, and nobody wanted anything to do with them before they found Christ Jesus. But once they found Christ and entered into this wonderful discipleship program, everything is being restored to them, which is amazing. But so this happens today quite more often than we would like.
You know, you can always check out our website if you go to bethany-ag.org, and you can watch that service and listen to some of the testimonies of these men who found themselves living just like this young man here that Jesus talks about, and you can hear what radically transformed their lives and made all the difference.
And it's interesting to me that the writer here, Luke, who's very precise because he's a doctor, after he gets the money, it says, not long after that.
Yeah.
As soon as he gets the money, not long after that. He didn't waste any time.
Nope.
He had his mind set up what he was going to do, and he goes out and he squanders it all for fast living. Probably went to Vegas.
Exactly.
To see Vegas and try to make as much as he could out of life, and he ends up in trouble.
Probably Joppa on the coast of Israel, just hanging out on the beach.
True.
Spends all of his money.
Yeah. And then it says in verse number 14, after he spent everything, There was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And here again, we find almost perfect timing in this particular story. He spends everything he has. So the famine could have come early when he had some money, but yeah. It doesn't. It comes later. Now, why does God allow all these things to come at this particular time when it's the worst time it right. could happen? This is when it happens, because God is really interested in your spirit, in yeah. your life. He really wants to touch you and to move you to where you understand more about life than just yourself.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely at times we wonder why, you know, like you
we
said.
We do wonder.
And we question God. We get mad at God. We blame God. And God gets blamed for a lot of things he never did.
He does.
You know, here's this guy. He had everything he needed for life. He had the wealth that he needed.
Yeah.
But he wastes it all.
Yeah.
And when it comes right down to it, and he looks around and he's, you know, he's in a place where he's in need now, and he has no hope, no help. He's in a distant country. He's not in Joppa. He's farther than Joppa. He's way far away from anybody and anything he knows. And all of the friends that he had when he had money, they've split.
They're gone.
They're gone.
They're
he's
gone.
Alone. And
yeah.
so he, you know, a lot of times, like I said, God gets blamed for that stuff when sometimes it could be the fault of me and then just kind of natural stuff that's happening. This famine wasn't anything that, you know, anybody planned on having, but sometimes bad stuff happens
to good
people.
It does. And the Bible does say that he squandered his wealth.
Right.
So, I mean, even though the father gave him this wealth way before he should have gotten it, that he still says it was his to do what yep. what he could do with it, and here he squanders it. And after he had spent everything, a famine came in, yep. and now he finds himself in need. So he went to and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Now, it doesn't say to another a Jewish person, because they wouldn't be raising pigs.
Right.
So here, he's just going to a citizen. So right. more than likely, he is somewhere around the West Bank where we know of today, where their Gentile people were, yep. who were raising pigs, and probably he felt very guilty, wouldn't go to someone in his own neighborhood, wouldn't right. go to a Jewish person. So he finds somewhere else that he can go because he's really embarrassed.
Yep.
And he finds this job feeding pigs. Now, I would imagine, I don't know anything about feeding pigs. I mean, I've never raised a pig, but I would imagine pigs eat about anything.
Yeah.
But you have to feed them.
Yeah. I remember going to my uncle's farm. My father was raised on a farm in Canada. And I just remember the big pigs. Of course, I was a little kid, but they were huge.
400 pounds probably. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big ones.
And they're just laying in the mud. They're just eating and gnawing on whatever. You know, you'd throw slop in there. Whatever, and you slop the pigs.
Yep.
And, you know, like you said, if Jesus was talking about a Jewish guy, which let's make that assumption, feeding pigs is probably the worst job a Jewish guy could ever have.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah. And so here's this Jewish guy, you know, hanging out with pigs, which are, you know, unclean animal.
Right.
And a very unclean animal. So they're unclean biblically. They're unclean just laying around in the mud. And here this Jewish boy wasted everything that he had. And now he's relegated to slopping the pigs.
Wow. And then he longs, he says, to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, because no one gave him anything.
Yeah.
So in other words, the farmer says, feed the pigs. If you want to have a little food that the pigs are eating, you can eat that. And he says, I'd like to eat these pods that the pigs are eating, but nobody's given him anything. So he doesn't have anything. He's really in bad shape.
He's in bad shape.
He's gone from living really high on the hog, if you will,
to living low on the pig.
He's living below the pig. He's not even getting what the pig gets.
Imagine that. He lived high on the hog, but now he's less than a pig.
Less than a pig.
Because he's not even getting what the pigs... He wants to eat what the pigs eat.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life. You could even be tuned into the radio listening to this program. And you feel like, I feel like this guy right here. Same things happened to me. I started off really good. Everything's falling apart on me. Yeah. I had an idea on what to do. And all of a sudden, everything has come out from under me. I'm just on the bottom.
Yeah.
So finally, in verse number 17, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? So here, the most important thing of this whole thing is he comes to his senses.
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest thing, because what happens is when we get in this position of this particular young man who has nothing now, sometimes then they don't come to their senses. People don't come to their senses. What they have a tendency to do is to numb their senses. Yeah. So they'll look for alcohol, they'll look for drugs, they'll look for heroin, they'll look for anything to numb their senses.
Right.
Because they don't want to come to this understanding anymore, that they really messed life up, and there's no hope for them.
There's a line, and sometimes I get it wrong, but I think it's until the pain of staying the same outweighs the pain of change, you will never change.
That's the truth.
And so, you know, until changing is better than your current circumstances, you're never going to change. And I think this young man hit that point where if he stayed there, he knew he was headed nowhere. And so it was easier for him to make the decision to make a change, to take a step in the right direction. It clicked in his mind. He's like, this is not where I want to be. Where can I go? What can I do? How can I change my circumstances? And he remembers what it was like in his father's house, not as his son, but as a hired hand there. So,
but the amazing thing is that he does come to his senses,
yep.
Because even like we mentioned before, the Teen Challenge men that were here, several of them talked about their recovery stages, and sometimes they would relapse and relapse, yep. And relapse and relapse and relapse, and they go back and they go back to the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
But finally, something happens to them when they come to their senses, and almost every one of them, it's pretty amazing, when they were talking about these kinds of things, they were always underlining it, there was somebody that was praying for them.
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
Oh, yeah.
It really did. If it was a mother, it was a grandmother, it was somebody that was always praying for them to come to their senses.
And I think we're going to pick that up in just a minute here in this story with the father. There's always somebody who has your best interest at heart, but sometimes we miss it and we don't recognize it.
Yeah, and the truth is, if you look at the church, that's where we're at. We really are interested in you becoming the best you can be and to fulfilling the destiny that God has for you. And so sometimes you look at us, you say, well, you're just trying to tell me how to live and so forth. No, we're really not trying to tell you anything. We're trying to hope that you come to your senses and you can see that there is a plan for your life.
Amen.
That is much better than one that you think you have.
Yeah.
And that's really the key.
It definitely is. We want to point you to the one who can help you come to your senses.
So finally, he comes to his senses and he says, here I am. I'm starving to death.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't get any worse than this.
Yep.
So I'm going to set out and I'm going to go back to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. So he comes to his senses and he goes back to his father. Now, this is what happens sometimes with people when they start off in a Christian home, start off in a Christian lifestyle, and all of a sudden they slip and they backslide and they go deep into sin. If they come to their senses, they finally repent and come back to God and say, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven.
Yeah. It's a beautiful statement of humility and humbling yourself. And it's a hard place to get to. And sometimes you have to hit the lowest spot in your life.
Yeah.
To be able to be broken enough to say that.
And that's usually what happens when Teen Challenges people give their testimony and they talk about, I really hit the bottom. I can't go any lower I am. And this is what he says. I'm starving to death.
Right.
I can't get any worse than this. And my father's servants get better than this. So he says, I am going to turn back to the Father. Now, and that's really what God is asking for us in our lives, to turn back to him. I believe that America, at this particular joint in history, this time in our history, that we've made a statement by voting in a new president who is reinstating Christmas and is saying things more in a biblical sense.
Yeah.
It's a turn back. In America, say, let's turn back to the Father. And I'm hoping that's what's happening right
Amen.
Now. And some of you may not see it that way. You may see that this is a misstep and maybe we need to go the global way. We need to do more equality and more of other things, but I see this as a step back towards biblical principles, a step back towards God the Father, and I'm hoping that's what it is.
I hope, yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm hoping what it is. But here he goes and he says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to his father. So this is, he's got it in his mind what he's going to say. He's going to repent. He says, I'm going back. I'm going to humble myself like you said. I don't want anything. I'm just going to humble myself and ask for your help.
you know, to come to that place where you're able to say those things and to work through them in your mind. And he was in this far off country, so he had to walk back.
Make
he wasn't
trip.
Taking the A train. I mean, he was walking back,
no
and I'm sure
Uber
it was
cab.
A long road. And I'm sure there were moments when he could have turned to the left or to the right when he just felt like giving up. He was hungry. I don't know how he made it. I don't know how he made it from there to his father's house. And I'm sure there was a lot of stuff happening in the mind. And that's where a lot of the action takes place. And a lot of people miss turning to God because they start listening to that little voice in their head say, you don't need God. Go this way. Go that. You can make it on your own or you can do this. You have to come to a place where you say, I have sinned.
Right.
I need you, Father. I need your help, Father. And then let the Father, your Heavenly Father, come into your life and make a difference.
Yeah, and it's the idea that you almost become a servant to the Lord. You say, Lord, you created me. You know what's best for me. Yeah. I just want to serve you. And whatever you need, I'm willing to do it.
Amen.
I'm willing to serve. And so this is where he comes to this place. I'll be your hired man.
Yeah.
I'll whatever you want. But while he was still a long way off, and I love that, long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him.
Yeah.
You could talk hours on that.
Oh my gosh. You know, here's this, a few verses ago, this obnoxious, rude son says, Father, give me my inheritance. I want, you know, this selfish son. And now here's this son that smells like pig slop walking back. And the father could have turned his nose up at him and said, you know, hey, security, get this guy off my property. But what does he do? He runs to him and he kisses him and he hugs him and he holds him. And there's just something about a father's love that when it's when you see your son whom you thought was dead, it just stirs something in you.
Yeah, and my favorite part about it is that while he was still a long way off, that means the father was looking for him.
He was watching for him.
The father's sitting on the porch waiting for his son to come home, always hoping that he's going to come home, always wishing and praying that he's going to come home.
Yeah.
And we talked about grandmothers and mothers praying for sons to come back to the Lord, and they're always praying. Here the father is looking for him. From a long way off, he sees him coming. And he's already got this compassion for him in his heart. And when people pray and they really intercede, there's a great compassion because they know that that person who is lost could die and be lost forever. And they're praying for them to come to their senses and come back. And they're continually interceding. And so here, this is a long way away prayer that the father's watching and he sees him. And then, like you say, he runs to him.
Yeah.
He doesn't wait for the son to crawl up to him and say, I'm sorry.
No.
He doesn't wait for him to he runs to him. I love that.
He probably tackled him.
Could have tackled him. Yeah,
just threw his arms around him.
The son says, stay away, stay away. Yeah. I'm full of this pig stuff, you know,
right,
but the father
unclean.
Doesn't. The father wraps his arms around him.
Oh my gosh, you know,
what a great story.
It is.
And that's the way God loves you.
That's it.
And we here, we want you to have that same experience with
Amen.
The Lord. So this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Don't stay away from God. He loves you.